Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks to everyone tuning in out there in the world today. Cigar Chat is also brought to you by Gurkha Cigars. Gurkha manufactures the world's finest cigars. Check out that new 93-rated Heritage today at your local shop. Robert, I actually just got an email from you. I just had an email from you pop up. We had some, we had a few technical difficulties before the show. Not Robert's fault, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, not your fault. I'm blaming YouTube, man. Ever since it switched over, it's gotten funky. But anyway, we've got Robert Holt with us from Southern Draw Cigars. Robert, thanks for taking the time, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, brother. I'm proud to be back. It's always enjoyable. When I'm not on the show and I have to watch it, I get a little bit jealous. So I'm glad to get a little time with you.
Oh, I like that. I'll take it. I'll take that. That was a nice compliment. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a while. We had you, I think more recently, we had you on our pairing show, which was a lot of fun. But I think it's been a while since we've had you on Cigar Chat, so it'll be good to catch up.
Absolutely.
And we missed you at IPCPR, too.
You know, I missed everybody. I missed all the fun. I missed all the...
So you missed IPCPR. You were saying you had a few other things that you guys had to handle. Is that what you're saying?
We don't have people, right? We're small. We don't have gophers. It's us. And ultimately, it's our responsibility. So we took that serious. We want to have to have pre-market approval for a product. As such, we plan accordingly.
Yeah, that's tough, man. And all the FDA stuff, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum. And still, nobody seems to know exactly what's happening. So we'll try to move forward. And so you had a few new things. Line extensions, really, at IPCPR. I'm smoking one of them here, the Kudzu Axle. Is that how you say it?
Correct. Axle.
Yeah, and this is a Lancero. It's the same blend, give or take?
It is the same blend. Obviously, you get to enjoy some different ratios of those tobaccos. It's our first Lancero, and it's a 6.5 40, so maybe it's a little bit of a unique size for us, but for this blend, the Southern Draw, the desire for having a good, consistent draw, this was the right size for us, and we're very pleased with it. What do you think?
I'm enjoying it. I'm about, I don't know, I'm catching up on about halfway through here, I think, maybe a little less than halfway. Fired it up about 25 minutes ago, so should be a good hour 10, hour 15 minute smoke. Real nice flavor. A lot of nutty and woody notes in there. For me, is what I'm picking up, and I'm really enjoying it. Not too much spice, but some richness, definitely full flavor, and very approachable from a flavor standpoint. It's going to have something in there, unless you're looking for a big Lajero or Pepper Bomb. Anything beyond that, that's not what you're going to find here. But there's definitely a lot of nuance, a lot of flavor, and a lot of complexity. I'm really, really enjoying it. It falls right into my wheelhouse, like most of your cigars do. Lots of flavor.
Wonderful.
Yeah, not too over the top with the Lajero and things like that, but definitely a lot of nuance going on. I was going to pair it with a beer, and so I brought out a glass. I thought maybe I would go with like a brown ale or a porter or something, and I didn't, and I'm glad that I didn't, because I think that would have been too much.
Right. Sometimes we go to that rule of thumb, darker Escudero wrapper, darker beer, stout porters, and I think we – discount the complexity of well-aged tobaccos that allow us to focus on more than just the spice levels in a Escudero, for example. Yeah. That leatheriness, that rich aroma sometimes might be a little suppressed if we go with a heavier beer or something with a heavier viscosity that really sits on the palate. And I'm kind of glad you didn't. I toy around with pairings, as you know. I did the Connecticut with some 10 and 12% Imperials. I kind of go the other direction. Let's explore it a little bit. Because you can always go stronger and richer beer, but you can't go less once you started.
Once you're committed, you're committed. Now having had a few minutes to get used to this flavor profile and enjoy it a little bit, I'm thinking something along the wheat beer, maybe. Allagash White is a beer that pops into my head that might be a nice pairing with it. A little bit of that, get that Belgian yeasty flavor in there. Might be a nice little palate cleanser in between. Nothing too heavy, nothing too strong. Even a pale ale, really, that's not too hopped up would be a nice pairing, I think.
Okay, a pale ale, a lower IBU IPA, something nice. But as you said, a Belgian or something with a little bit of coriander, just a light spice, not overpowering, would be a nice compliment to start with. And then, you know, as you get to the final third, as in most of our cigars, the final third, you're going to pick up flavor and a little bit of strength on how we load, you know, how we bunch these cigars. So you might be able to step it up into something more on an imperial stout, something of that nature that's still a little lighter, a little creamier, but just with that last third of that cigar.
Yeah. So let's, we can jump in. We've got some audience questions here. Question here from Jeff. He wants to know about the Code Duello, or Code Duello, which we featured yesterday on our pairing show. I did a pairing show with the guys from Developing Palettes, and we did the Code Duello Firethorn and some whiskey, which was a really, really nice pairing. I went with Old Weller Antique 107, Suburban, and it was a little bit spicy, I think. The combination of the two cigars, or the cigar and the whiskey, was okay. It wasn't anything I was too excited about. The second pairing was the Takatsuru Pure Malt, some Japanese whiskey that John sent over to me. A little bit smoother, a little bit more little fruit notes, a little bit more of that sherried spice. And that pairing was really good with that Firethorn Code Duello. So tell us a little bit about the Code Duello.
It is Code Duello, as in code.
Code, okay.
In Code Duello, there's a history with Southern Draw that you'll see the link in a moment. It's nothing more than a defined rules for one-on-one combat known as the duel. So the definition of Code Duello is rules for a duel, okay? We live in tough times. We live in a lot of crisis and constant reminder on a daily basis of how we don't get along. From the military side, or coming just from the streets, right? And really our thought of this is Code Duello goes back to the 7th century BC. We can go back to the Middle Ages, where there was a set of rules to settle disputes. Back then, obviously, we're using, you know, knives and swords and things of that nature. But that code throughout history, moving into the Renaissance period, for example, started moving to more of swords and things to settle disputes, you know. And it was really not a gentlemanly thing to do at that point in history. And really, if you think about Code Duello or this dual capacity, Queen Victoria was one of the folks that said, listen, that is inhumane, it's barbaric, how about we find a better way of settling disputes? And most people don't realize that boxing originated in that 17th century, say 18th century, 1860s, when the Marquis of Queensberry rules were developed. That was how it was decided that we would settle disputes and duels in a gentlemanly format as history progresses over time. It's kind of unique, but from that, we move into the Irish code and other parts of the world where guns now become available and we get barbaric again. And now we have to choose weapons that are matched equally, that are accurate, you know, equally accurate. And we really fight to the death in that sense. And our thought was that as that moved closer to what Southern Draw is in the United States, in the South, in the United States, really a dual class, the upper echelon, nice satin lined boxes with beautiful dueling pistols. We take 10 steps, we turn around and we shoot into a cloud of smoke, somebody dies. And then it really evolved into what we see in the Old West, the Old Westerns, the quick draw duel, Wild Bill Hickok, the first ever recorded quick draw duel. Now you think about one of our lines of cigars, which is the quick draw. This is not something that this Code Duello that we came up with just for this release of these limited products, which we'll get into that a little bit, I think, Rob. But it was really educating people that over time we've always settled disputes and we found very barbaric ways of doing it, but we've never found a very humane way. And I don't know about you, in these times, I think if we can offer a pair of cigars that are banded together, and you and I can sit down. We've got something in common to start with, and that's really the concept of the tagline is settle it like gentlemen. Obviously, the ladies are welcome too, but settle it like gentlemen, because if you sit down and you're both smoking the same cigar, you got a starting point for that discussion. And that's really the logic behind it. It's more of a awareness. It's really a public service announcement. Settle it like gentlemen. And it's a good start to do that. So that's really the concept behind Code Duello, even though we haven't been able to communicate that in the mass to the masses just yet.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea. And actually, Aaron from Developing Palettes, he gave me kind of a brief rundown on that. And we talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday. But I like the concept. And I've seen other cigars on the market that are – you're buying two cigars at once, whether they seem a bit more gimmicky to me, you know, gimmicky. And again, nothing against whatever anybody else wants to do. I'm not judging. It's just with something like this, it's the message is a little bit different, and they're great cigars. So the way that this works is these are limited sizes, correct? The same base cigar of the Firethorn and the Kudzu. The same blends, more or less, but in limited edition size.
Yes and no. They are limited. To go back to what a duel requires multiple options for the participants. Thus, we have multiple options. There's a reason we have it. Number one, you had the Perfecto 656 Firethorn yesterday. And I think, having had the Firethorn in the past, you realize this wasn't as spicy. It was smoother. It was breadier. It was a little sweeter. What we did with the ratios in that cigar is we really created a blend with the 656. It's a little more medium-bodied, medium-flavored, very sophisticated, very approachable for almost anyone. Now, I think you've smoked the 558, but if you do a pairing with the 558, you're going to find that red pepper and that depth of spice and strength is more fuller-bodied in that same cigar. So we've really manipulated the ratios so that they're uniquely different cigars from the original Firethorn, but they're unique to themselves. And consequently, the Kudzu is the same thing. The 656 is really focused on the strength and flavor of the Escuro wrapper, more pepper, more full-bodied, more full-flavored in your face, kind of like a double, triple Herro Dominican style. And then if you smoke the 558 Kudzu, you're going to really enjoy the oakiness, the char, the woodiness. The aromas are very strong in that cigar. And there's a little touch of sweetness, thanks to our wonderful Jalapa region that offers us some great sweetness. So we've really manipulated the same tobaccos and created offerings in the Code Duello that you can't get in the core line just by buying a Robusto Toro or a Gordo.
Okay, so that kind of begs the question, at least for me. Why would you call them the same thing then? Why wouldn't you just make them a totally separate cigar? Why make them the Firethorn and the Kudzu when, in essence, they're smoking different? You're going to get some of the same things across the board, but I mean, that could be said about every cigar ever made, right? You're going to get some of the same things across the board. Why not make those their own entity?
Great question. Is that your question or is that a viewer question?
That's my question.
Wonderful question.
Woohoo!
I think number one is, as a small company, we want to be very mindful about the blends and the brands that we put into humidors. We want to make sure that we can optimize our space in these humidors. It's expensive real estate. And if someone likes the Firethorn and the Kudzu profiles, I believe they're going to like these limited releases and give them something to look forward to on an annual basis, because we don't do gimmicks. We don't do we would never release Code Duello as on its own and only release 4,000 of each one a year. It's not a good economical decision for a company of our size, but it does give you something to look forward to, and that's pretty unique in itself. And consequently, we released half of them in this last 4 or 5 weeks since we've shared them with you guys, and we've sold 100% of them. For us is we saved the other half for the holiday season, so we're going to look at mid to end of November. And we'll have those. But that's really the reason. It's just we want to limit the amount of blends and brands on the shelf. And as customers enjoy those, if they want to order or pre-order or look forward to that fall release of the Code Duelos, they'll be able to do that.
That's awesome. Sold 100%. Good for you. I can imagine that's the kind of cigar that that if folks enjoy your blends and they go out and they get their hands on that one, they're going to look forward to it the next time it comes out, because it is, again, I've only had the Firethorn, but Firethorn. I had another word in my head, but that's not the name of the cigar. And it was really, really good. I really enjoyed that blend. Super smooth, like you were saying, in that ring gauge. I grabbed one and smoked the first one just while I was doing some work. I normally don't smoke while I'm working, but I grabbed one that day. Just, I don't know, it just sounded good, and I fired one up. And I ended up about halfway through, I ended up stopped working, and I just sat back and was focused on the cigar because the blend was so nice. I really, really enjoyed it. It's sometimes we want a cigar to hold our attention. We talk about that in reviews. You know, there was enough transitions to keep me interested, that kind of thing. But this one had enough going on where it not only kept me interested, but it got me to stop doing the other thing that I was doing. So I think if people do get their hands on it, they will look for that one, hopefully again when it comes out, like we were saying, later in the fall. Or we're already in the fall, later in the wintertime. Speaking of wintertime, I've got a question here that leads right into that, but I want to remind our audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're chatting with Robert Holt from Southern Draw Cigars, and we've fixed our audio issues, which is great. I'm glad you were able to move to the spot that you're in, Robert, because now I can hear you. It's awesome. This next segment's brought to you by Drew Estate. Check out the new Drew Estate Diplomat app. I'm on it. If you're not on it, as Logan would say, you're just a poser. So check out the Drew Diplomat app. You can download that anywhere that apps are available. And I believe it's available across all formats, so check it out. We're talking about smoking cigars in winter, and I'm lucky enough to live in the Bay Area out here in California where we don't really have winter. We don't really have a hot summer either. We kind of have a fall and a spring, and that's about it, which is great for me. But some guys, different parts of the country, have a hard time getting cigars in when it gets so cold. Jason Myers wants to know about the Quick Draw. You know, tell us a little bit about the Quick Draw. What was your inspiration behind the cigar, or taking your blends into that cigar? And are there any things that you have to do special for that when you get into that blending process? Because you're talking about a smaller ring gauge, and you know you've got to fit those leaves in there. He says it sounds like a great option for a shorter smoke in the wintertime, and I would agree with that. But give us a little bit of background on that.
First and foremost, for those that don't know, I did have the luxury of living and spending a tremendous amount of time in the Caribbean basin, Latin America. But being exposed to so many cigars in the region, what I found myself doing is smoking a lot of smaller ring gauge cigars, but I would smoke smaller cigars, less than 50 ring gauge, usually in that five and a half, inch size. And that's where you get to really enjoy great wrappers, right? But you also have to rely on very specific binder and filler because there's such a small ratio to them. But I enjoyed them so much. I also find myself, I stop at 5 cigar shops on an average day. If I have a cigar with every shop owner, manager, and customer, and I smoked all Toros and Gordos, guys, we'd be in trouble. They'd be very long days. But the concept behind Quick Draw was, A, we always knew we wanted to release 3 unique blends, what we kind of call morning, noon, and night. The new Connecticut release, we call our morning, our Ecuadorian Dark Habano, which is a true medium, leather, woody, not a lot of spice. And then that nice, heavily, aggressively aged and fermented Pennsylvania broadleaf that's really done well. And we knew that we wanted that first one to be in that 30-minute window, the average lunch break, the average time that a man can stand out in Casper, Wyoming in December to smoke a cigar. It can be smoked in 13 minutes. We also wanted to expand on that. So the Quick Draw line, we've just released a short Panatella in all 3. So it's a 5.5 by 40, which to me is as good or better than the original Petit Corona, but it gives you about a 50-minute smoke. So keep it you know, ultimately we're going to end up three blends in Quick Draw, very unique blends, not just wrappers. And we want to keep them in most states. They're $6 or less. And we want to reward people to have a good quality product. And it's as every bit as good as anything else that we do. It's the best we can do with the tobacco. But yeah, you really want to focus on well-aged, well-fermented wrappers and equally aged and fermented, flavorful binders and fillers if you want to have a little firecracker that people are going to go to and enjoy every time they have a break or you know, a 30-minute car ride at home. So that's the concept behind the Quick Draw.
It's interesting. Well, first of all, I know John loved the, it was the Quick Draw Connecticut, I think, was, yeah, and he rated it a 94 or 95 or just,
that's,
he gave it to
pretty respectable for a Connecticut, I think.
Yeah. And coming from John, who really does, John doesn't throw around the high ratings like that. So, and I've smoked that. I've smoked the Connecticut. I think that's the only one I've smoked and I really enjoyed it as well. The thing that sticks out most to me out of what you said, though, and we're talking about a smaller cigar, and I don't know if this is a stigma in the industry or maybe it's just me, but when I see a smaller cigar, I tend to think that they use lesser product for whatever reason, lesser tobaccos in there. I think maybe it's a short filler. There's, you know, they're using the scraps afterwards to put this cigar together. And that's, I mean, I'll be the first to say that that's kind of an uneducated view of that. But you're talking about it the exact opposite. When you're working on a cigar that's that small, that quick of a smoke, when you really only have a half hour, you're focusing on ultra premium stuff. I mean, you're using the cream of the crop to make those cigars.
Absolutely. And think about it this way. If we made a Toro or a Gordo 6.5 60, like we do in our Kudzu and Firethorn, in that Pennsylvania broadleaf, you're talking about a $14 cigar. Nobody's going to smoke it, brother. I'm not Juris States, right? You have our marketing, but you know, I'm just speaking the truth. Those tobaccos they're expensive. They're well done, well manufactured cigars that are unique blends that I find that everyone that tries them enjoys. And that being said, keeping it in a smaller ring gauge, we accomplish the mission, which is high quality, low cost, and low time commitment, which is what that line's all about.
Yeah, that's I like the concept of that. I mean, especially you talk about the price point and the amount of time that smokes. The short Pantellas, I think you sent us some of those as well. I'm going to have to check those out. I haven't smoked those yet either. I feel like I'm really far behind on things that I need to try ever since IPCPR. I'm trying to catch up. So speaking of, you know, being in the car, you're going from place to place, you've got short breaks, or you're spending a lot of time at different shops. Bob Dog wants to know how difficult has it been with all the traveling that you've been doing lately? You've been all over the place.
The difficult part is being away from family, being away from my wife and my kid and my neighbors and friends. And I can't tell you the last time I hit a golf ball or cast a fishing line. Those are all very important quality of life things. But the ease of it has been the time that our, you know, representatives in the field have coordinated events, and they've coordinated shop visits. We've ran into some incredible hospitality. We can all go back and watch videos and do studies of industry that we all recognize today. And sleeping on couches and sitting in the front seat of a Volkswagen Jetta when you're 6'3" and far overweight, sleeping 1 or 2 hours a day, it's a joy. It's a true joy. And we get to see the people. You know, Southern Draw as a brand is, again, we've talked about it many times. We want to promote faith, family, and a lot of hospitality. And the only way to do it is to do it firsthand. So I miss the family, but they're working equally as hard on the back office side as I am on the road. And I get to just meet great people. So we're going to stay the course. And I don't know when we'll temper that. We don't have plans. This is an entrance strategy, not an exit strategy. It's hard. I'm not good at washing clothes, but guess what I get to do tonight at the hotel? I can only turn my socks and underwear inside out a few times, and I got to wash them.
Well, you are representing your company. I mean, you can't walk in smelling like you're wearing three-day-old underwear, my friend. Not an option.
I'm rubbing raw tobacco leaves on my clothes. So people think that that's just the cigar. It's very musty. It's very barnyardy, Robert. I was like, yeah, that's broadleaf, baby.
Oh, man, if finding a hotel that has where you can do your own laundry is not – I think we did that at IPCPR. My wife, God bless her, she found a hotel for us in New Orleans that had a laundry facility. But that's not easy to come by.
Well, I typically stay at one chain because we travel enough that they comp some rooms, and most of them have free breakfast, important, in laundry facilities. And a lot of the modern chains don't even charge. You know, if you have the laundry done, you pay an arm and a leg. But I know I'm not good at it, but if I can get them clean, I can always iron. I came from the military. I can iron, you know, so that's part of the humble side of the business, I think.
I bet you didn't think we'd be talking about your laundry tonight, did you?
Well, you know, and we've got all kinds of events going on the next few days, and I've got a big laundry bag just staring at me over in the corner going, hey, you know, after you get off this cigar chat, you got to go wash me, buddy. And I'm trying to make excuses within myself of why I'm not going to do it.
You got to do it. So you said you've got some events coming up in the next few days. Where are you going to be?
We're going to be in Salt Lake City, which will be the first events in Salt Lake City. We'll be tomorrow afternoon at the Tinderbox with Ken and Jonathan. They've been doing very well with us. Our financial consultant, family member, friend, Courtney Taylor, is also from the Valley. You know, Sharon and I and the kids, we lived in Park City, Utah for some time. So we've got a lot of connections in Utah. University of Utah is our second home as far as sports teams. So we're going to do that event. We're going to a great local sports bar that has built a nice outdoor heated patio in a town that's not known for cigar shops or smoking. They've done a great job creating an environment for us to enjoy. We're doing a kind of a little cut and light. You're going to see a lot of the Salt Lake cigar smokers, also the Cigar for Warriors folks. We're going to go to Piper Down, I think. We're going to probably drink Ballast Point and Piper Down at Piper Down. And maybe I think they might have Pumpkin Down by now. So this time last year, we talked a lot about pumpkin beers. Then we're going to do a nice tailgate, and all the raffle winners and the shop owners from the event are going to go to the University of Utah game as they fight out the Arizona Wildcats. So it's going to be a good couple of days. And then I think the Beehive Cigars has just opened their new shop. Spend the next day there with them. And I think they just had a big Tatuaje event, so it's hard to follow that up. But we're going to go spend some time with them too before I come back to go back to Texas for Stogie's big weaning.
That's a mouthful, man. You've got a lot going on. You mentioned beer in there. I know you've got a lot of travels coming up. I want to jump into this next segment, remind our audience, listener to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're chatting with Robert Holt from Southern Draw Cigars. This next segment's brought to you by Cigar Oasis. Everybody uses Cigar Oasis. I would bet that most of the shops that you go into probably use Cigar Oasis in their humidors. They're the leader in cigar humidification. Set it and forget it is their tagline, and that's basically what I do. I just turn them on, and that's it. Just check them every now and again, make sure everything's running right. And you can hook them up to your phone. I haven't done all that yet, but I know a lot of people who do that. So check out Cigar Oasis, just cigaroasis.com if you need any information from them. So how often, how many weeks out of the year do you spend on the road on average?
Unfortunately, I don't look at the calendar as a year. I look at it month to month, and usually in blocks of 2 weeks. I drive a lot, but we're talking about 80% plus on the road. If I look at the numbers, it might be upwards of 90%, because you have to add, you know, travels down to the factory and things as well. So this last year, it's probably 90%. If I'm home a day or so, remember, we have an office. My wife runs all that. We have accounting and things that we have to do. Here's what I do, Rob. We've got reps in covering 30 or plus states. I give them the calendar in December and January and say, fill it up. And they get me a week to 10 days at a time. to cover areas of their territory. And in that time, we try to do multiple events, but are separated geographically, and see as many current accounts and prospective accounts as we can. Plus, we do a lot of, you know, charity events, as you know, and music venues and beer pairings. But the calendar is for them to use my time wisely. I'm at their disposal because they're relationships. They've earned them over time. And I'm just there to support that, right? So probably 75% of my travel is coordinated by the brokers and sales staff.
And it truly is a labor of love, isn't it?
Oh, it has to be. You know, we're in this because we chose to be in it. I enjoy it. I'm willing to do it because my wife's doing it with me. I'm excited. Said it on the show with you before. We will never discount that. But we're truly trying to build something that'll last generations. And we've got our challenges. Everybody does. But we're committed. And I think the more that people see us, as we say, through social media or through participation, they're going to realize that it's not just some guy that wrote a couple of checks and put a label on a cigar. We're not that. That's not what this brand is. And, you know, every time we get to spend time with you guys in the Cigar Media Association, every time we get a rating or a review, it's all important. It's all important part of this process. So I appreciate it. But that's how we roll. You know, we're going to stay busy. We say stay active and stay positive.
Yep. Stay on course too. Absolutely. So you were talking about beer. You talked about Ballast Point. Now you had an event that you were talking about that was going to be at Ballast Point. Is that this year or did that already happen? Or is it in San Diego, yes. I should say.
No. About 3 weeks ago, we did the big Ballast Point anniversary party at Del Mar Fairgrounds.
That's the one,
I think. Oh, but I can tell you this. There were 40 or 50 beers on tap, four or five tractor trailers. Roots flew in and performed.
Really? Wow.
And your friendly Southern Draw team was there enjoying beer with Steve Anderson, which is head of their barrel aging program, plus all their other wonderful, you know, core lines and all their seasonals and limited production. A very long day. And I do need to check because they were scheduled for another event, a barrel age event here in about 10 days. And I just know it conflicted with Jorge's event down in Houston, which we could and would never miss. But let me check on that now that you jog my memory and see, because I had told them to reach out to you guys and invite you down for that if they were trying to make sure legally that they could have it at the brewery. So,
oh, I see. Okay.
I will follow up because the event that's pending is at the brewery and it's all barrel age. Phenomenal. I mean, mind-boggling quality of beer that Steve and his team have produced. So let me get back to you on that after we hang up, and I'll check out, because you definitely will want to go to that.
Yeah, barrel age, you're speaking my language. They have some great stuff coming out of Ballast Point. You mentioned the Piper Down, and then they have the pumpkin, but they also did the Piper Down Oktoberfest. And this, I know it's been around for a few years. This was the first time that I saw it was this year. I thought it was fantastic.
Absolutely, really good. It's a unique take on an Oktoberfest style beer, but for a guy in the cigar industry, it was perfect because I could not cut and light a cigar that didn't work with it, which means it's got a lot of elements. It's got a lot of underlying nuances, just a beautiful beer, not overspiced. It's got such complexity that I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we paired it. We did an Oktoberfest show with the Casada Oktoberfest. We do that every year. And had Terrence on the show, and Terrence is a great guy, loves his beer as well. But that one was my favorite of the night, and I've revisited. I picked up another six pack of that. It's Oktoberfest beers for me. This is my favorite time of year for beer because you start getting into the barrel aged stuff and those types of things. You get on the more malty side of things. I love hoppy beers and hop bombs, and I celebrated my Giants victory last night with the Pliny the Elder. It's one of my favorites, and boy, that was a stressful game, man. Whew. I went through.
I could only imagine what you're going through. You know, the room I was in, everybody was rooting for you. And I mean, what a way to go out. Of course, my Rangers got crushed today in game one, and I'm pretty depressed about that. I'm trying to smoke my way through it. But but both of the playoffs ended in dramatic fashion. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think that I actually was on the phone with my dad a little bit earlier today, and he said, I'm just watching the game. I said, which game are you watching? I didn't realize they'd started so early. And he said, yeah, the Blue Jays are winning 6-0. I said, you got to be kidding. That's going to be an interesting series. I think that one's going to go all five. And but I just feel like Texas has the pitching to get through that series.
He didn't pitch like Hamels. He pitched like Robert Holt.
Well, I think you're going to get another start out of him. You bring him back in game five and game four, maybe game five, and see how that goes. But, I think I went through in the game last night, I went through a Luponic Distortion number 2 IPA from Firestone Walker. Then a three-way IPA from, it's a collaboration that Fort George does, which is a really, really good beer up out of, up near Cannon Beach, in Oregon. And then I did a Blind Pig, Russian River Blind Pig IPA, which is also one of my favorites. And then to cap the night off with, my wife was helping me with these, by the way. And, I capped the night off with the Pliny the Elder. We share in my household. We definitely share. My wife likes the IPAs for sure. Jason Myers wants to know, what are some of your favorite pairings with Southern Draw cigars? He says, I found that the Kudzu actually holds up pretty well to some IPAs that can be difficult to pair with. So he's curious to see what are some of the pairings that you like.
One of my all-time favorites, I'm going to start with the Firethorn, is Funky Buddha IPA. Mm. The citrus and the dried citrus, it was the richness of that dried citrus, that light white pepper, light spice. It was a pretty heavy IBU, I mean, pretty high. And I believe that's out of Atlanta, is it not?
I know they're...
It's out of Florida. It's out of Florida.
They're definitely in the Southeast. I've never tried anything from Funky Buddha. I've heard really good things, but I haven't tried them.
It's just a phenomenal pairing, but look up the Funky Buddha IPA Firethorn Robusto because of how that cigar burns. Perfect pairing. Kudzu's is another animal because I do this time of year tend to go to darker beers. My wife actually doesn't like IPA. She loves stouts. And if it was just one stout, she would just drink Guinness. The Seasonal Victory at Seas by Ballast Point are some of my favorite beers to pair with the Kudzu. And they've got numerous ones, but every one of them seemed to hit the note perfectly. I would look that up. The Quick Draw Connecticut, that Connecticut blend. I thought I had some favorites. The other day I was in Denver, and I stopped early Sunday morning to go to a business meeting, which, in fact, had to do with we were going to drink beer, smoke cigars, and watch the Broncos, right? Cocopelli Brewery in Westminster. They have a Rypa. Cocopelli Rypa is a phenomenal beer to pair with our Connecticut. That would be my recommendation. And then, you know, some of my all-time favorites again, Prairie Bomb. Obviously, not everybody can get it. And if they can, you know, it's one thing. But if you really want to go with a PA, I would go with Terrapin out of Athens, Georgia. And they also have another one, a Hoppinator, I think is what it's called. But that and my little broadleaf just seems to work just so well together. It's kind of cozy. It's a warm beer. It's got a lot of nice bitterness, and we counter that with that natural sweetness of that broadleaf. You realize most people that have smoked it realize it's a very rich, sweet, bold Maduro versus a peppery, black, gritty type of Maduro. So those are some of my favorites. And of course, you know, the beers are one thing. I love my bourbons and ryes and scotches as well. And we've got a whole nother show to do with that sometime, I think.
Yeah, you you named off an awful lot of really good beers there. The Victory at Sea, just the standard Victory at Sea, and that's a porter, and it's aged with coffee and vanilla bean, I believe. And it is just a phenomenal, phenomenal beer that's readily available. You can find it all the time. It's not a hard beer to find. I know they also released nationally. They did the peppermint version. I see on some of these lists at their events that they've got rum barrel aged and bourbon barrel aged and and all this stuff. And I'm just thinking, man, I would love to try some of those. They don't bottle any of it. And occasionally they'll have like a tap takeover or something like that at a place near me. And, you know, I try to get out when I can, but usually those are the first ones to go. So on those, that list of the extensive list of those that they do, especially locally, if you're anywhere near Ballast Point down there in San Diego, you can find a ton. But almost all those beers are on my list that I would just love to get my hands on. It's just difficult unless you're in the area, you know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we know somebody down there. We'll check.
No, I've got to make a trip down there. The wife and I, maybe this sometime this winter, get away from the weather and get down to San Diego, where it's always, 75 degrees or whatever it is down there.
You know, there's so many breweries, you don't really even have to go outside, so it doesn't matter. But we'll set you guys up. We've got not only partners in Southern Draw that are in the industry, but they're great beer guides, and they know what's in the back room. You know, that's not out on the tap, and that's always good. You know, things like Victor at Sea are so versatile. It's like playing a game of air hockey. You know, you just smoke, you take a little draw in your cigar, and you slide that puck back across there, and they hit you with another flavor and slide it back, and it's never ending as far as the experiences go. It's such a unique beer that it almost works with any cigar, but I find something different in it every time I drink that beer.
Yeah, it's I feel like we've featured that on our pairing show at least two or three times. Just a phenomenal beer. And I'm trying to think, I know we did a pairing show with you and I can't remember what beers it was that we paired with, but
you guys, you and John focused more on Belgian whites and wit beers because it was part of Connecticut. I didn't really warn you ahead of time that I was going to go big, but I wanted to show the flexibility of that Connecticut, giving the, it's just not a traditional Connecticut by flavor profile, by strength, by body. It's not. And I went with, Imperial IPA. I went with Reverend. So I did a triple, and I think I did a quadruple, in those three beers, which consequently I drank all three bombers on the patio. And after the show, Miss Sharon, we popped a few more so that we could do the pairing together on the patio after the show. So I slept like a baby.
You're right. We did. And it's funny. I think I actually had Allagash White on that show. And I did another wit from, oh man, I can't remember it. I can see the can, but I can't remember the company. But that's right. You went in a very different direction. And I think most of the pairing still worked out pretty well. That's one of the things that I've learned from doing that pairing show is most of your preconceived notions about pairing,
wrong.
You're pretty much wrong. Yeah. I mean, I go into a show and I think, okay, well, I've got this nice heavy Maduro and I've got this barrel aged, I don't know, KBS or something from Founders. And I think it's going to be great. And it ends up just being so much flavor. That's just, it's fighting for your palate. And you end up missing out on the cigar. You're missing out on the beer. Sometimes going the opposite route is a better way to go. Go with something a little bit more delicate, and hopefully those flavors really can elevate each other, if you will. So, we've got about 8 or 9 minutes left. So what can we look forward to from Quick Draw in 2017? I mean, we're getting towards the end of 2016, and I mean, granted, it's tough with new releases and things, but I know that you probably got some stuff up your sleeve. Is there anything that you can share with us?
I can, and while everybody was at the show, we released some press releases, and most people didn't read them because they were engaged in the things in front of them. But a couple of exciting things are we'll be releasing our first Core Line Connecticut. That is the Rose of Sharon. It's going to be a very well-aged, very velvety, beautiful Ecuadorian Connecticut. Cubano Piloto binder and a very unique set of fillers. It creates a nice medium-bodied Connecticut. It's a box press. I don't think we've decided which Vitolas, but if we follow what we've done in the past, you'll probably see it in the Robusto Toro Gordo first. And that's an exciting cigar. for us, because it'll be our first Core Line Connecticut, which should hit a lot of people in their sweet spot that like mild and medium bodied cigars. It's got a lot of depth and flavor as well. But maybe the most exciting, Triple Maduro. It's a Core Line Broadleaf San Andreas, nice Esteli Ligero. It will compete with any double, triple Ligero Dominican cigar that you've ever put on your tongue, but it has the complexity and richness and aromas of Nicaragua that just haunt me. And I'm not saying anything about anybody else. I'm just talking about Robert Holt's palate. And it's, you know, one of the lines that we actually have in the warehouse in Dallas right now. But that Jacob's Ladder is going to be exciting. And keep in mind that part of what we registered and part of what we did produce, import, pay S chip, sell and market kind of quietly, that's in the catalog, is the Kudzu. We'll see a line extension next year or the next year, which is the Bellicoso Fino, which the Firethorn will also see, a 5.5. It's just another beautiful cigar and another size that just really highlights the profiles of these two blends. And then as we grow that Rose of Sharon and Jacob's Ladder, they'll also get their annual Code Duelos. They'll also get their Lanceros, and they'll also get their Bellicoso Fino as well. So you'll end up with four core lines, with two of which are the limited production Perfectos each year. And then the Quick Draw line, despite what I wanted to do, Rob, I really wanted to release a small Perfecto, very Diplomatico style in the Quick Draw line. But the other two Vitolas and what we've done with them, we're going to reward the folks that have supported Quick Draw. We're coming out and releasing a Corona Gordo in the same price point in our Broadleaf, our Dark Habano, and our Connecticut in the Quick Draw line.
Oh, wow. So you've been busy. Man, to think about when all that stuff hits, and your catalog is pretty much going to cover everything. And I know that's not an accident. I mean, it's good planning, but it's impressive.
It's a blessing more than it is an accident. We also have a very strong and growing, quietly, private label program. Anything that we had available to us that we had plans in the future, if we decided it wasn't ready to put a Southern Draw band and a brand and to market and promote it actively, we did produce those and market those, and we have created a very solid line of private labels as well with its own catalog, which limited of where we've marketed and sold that. But we wanted to make sure that the customers that had them were excited, that they looked at them at the same quality, at a good price point and good margin, and it really is a nice compliment to those people that support Southern Draw. And it's not to be pompous, and I know we're not big enough to be considered doing private label, but we've had customers come and ask for it. Thus, we did the work, and we got it prepared pre-August 8th, and we're excited about the growth of that side of our business as well. And over time, we'll share a little bit time about that program and some of the exciting brands that we've put out on the market that most people don't know are Southern Draw.
Interesting. Yeah, that'll be I'm curious to have all that information divulged to us, because I mean, everything that I've smoked from your catalog has been pretty well in my wheelhouse. You know, a lot of flavor, nice complexity, always good construction, which is key, and always good balance. I feel like balance is something that you guys focus on, and there's some companies really do focus on balance, and some, in my opinion, don't. And the more cigars that I smoke, and as I grow as a smoker, or age as a smoker, I guess you could say, balance becomes more and more important to me. I don't want something that's too sweet or too peppery or too earthy or too woody. I want that nice balance of a little bit of everything. And sure, things are going to skew in one direction or the other, depending on the profile and the wrappers that are using all that. And I get all that, but a cigar going in one direction that's got a little bit more meat to it, so to speak, I still want that balance in there, and that's something that I've always found in your cigars. So that's something I've always appreciated out of your cigars as well.
I appreciate that. I mean, the entire brand, we appreciate it. I mean, going into this, my palate, I've enjoyed cigars now for 21 years, but I truly enjoy a cigar that has, as you said, balance of strength, flavor, and aroma. But that underlying complexity and richness, maybe that's not available in a single profile cigar, full body, full flavor, or just a mild or, you know, mild body, mild flavored cigar. We start with a medium body on almost everything we do, and then we go medium, 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 full. I mean, we really try to create something that we have something for everyone. But in the end, it's the collaborations that we have. It's the relationships. Our size, we've been blessed more than we deserve. I think everybody can taste it in the quality and the construction. It's going. It's not Robert Holt show. It's we've got a lot of people that have invested time and money and energy and resources that said we're going to get behind you and we're going to give you the best of what we have. And so that's important. But you know, to leave it with a message of what this brand's doing is our goal is really twofold. We want to create a consistent line of cigars. And we want to be sustainable with our brand. We want to make sure that we have that consistency. And we want to be sustainable in everything we do. And we don't want to do anything that we can't do over the long term. And that's why we limit, you know, how many blends and how many Vitolas we have, because we hope that that is enough arrows in the quiver for the future.
Yeah, I appreciate your approach to the business. And we've had a chance to chat with you a few different times, and it's always fun chatting with you. We just got a few minutes left here. So good luck on the rest of your trip. I know, hopefully you get some laundry done. Cause that's important, man. Appearance is a big deal.
Yeah. I'm past my prime. I don't know about you, but I'm past my prime. So I've got to have sharp press shirts and pants and boots, because that's the only way it'll take their attention off the other things. But yeah, man can never have too much luck. So I appreciate that. We're really excited about these next few days in Utah, because it's just not known to be cigar friendly, but it is. And there's a great following. There's great people, and they deserve reps and owners to go there and spend time with them too. So if I urge some of the other brands that are up and coming, you need to go to Utah. It's small, maybe out of the way as far as the market goes, but it's worth it. It's rewarding, and they're going to follow your brand everywhere you go if you do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really do appreciate it. Last few minutes here. Let everybody know where they can find you online. And do you guys have on your website a place where folks can search to see shops in the area that carry Quick Draw or Southern Draw?
Yeah, and I'll answer those in order. So it is SouthernDrawCigars.com. On Facebook, it is Southern Draw. Instagram and Twitter is SD Cigars. On our website, we do have a list of retailers, and each one of those, we don't have them all updated, quite honestly. We're growing fast enough that it's kind of tough. But what you'll find on that is their live link, whether it's a review from Cigar Federation or whether it's a retailer, and it's done by state. When you click on it, it's going to take you to their homepage. You're going to see their address. You're going to see their marketing, their promotion. And ultimately, they're your brands. The retailers have their brands. You guys have your brands. And our job is to push them back to the point of origin. So that is on SouthernDrawCigars.com. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. Yeah, because that's one of the questions that we get from folks around here is, you know, where to find your cigars. So and I'm sure if anybody has any questions, they can reach out to you directly on Twitter, Instagram, anything like that, and you guys will get right back to them, of course.
I think you'll find that, unless it's something facetious, we respond to every inquiry, every message, almost daily. And 90% of those I do, and they probably get tired of it, but that's how we've delegated the authority right now. I do that. But if it's a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, I'm going to see it and I'm going to respond to it as promptly as I can. It's usually pretty quick.
Awesome. Awesome. Appreciate it. Robert, best of luck, man. Good luck with the rest of the trip. Hope you get home soon to see the family, and you know, good luck at these events and football. And you got beer and football and cigars. That doesn't sound like a bad weekend though. I'm not shedding a tear for you, man.
Well, I hope people feel sorry for me. This is all homework. I appreciate it. Rob, missed you, John. Look forward to seeing and visiting with you guys again soon. And I look forward to hearing after you smoke those new short Panatella quick draws as well. Be blessed, brother.
Absolutely. Everybody out there in the Armed Forces Radio Network, I tell you this every week, you guys are built to do something I'm not built to do, and I have the utmost respect for you guys and everything that you do, putting your life on the line to fight for our freedom around the world. I hope that you were able to relax for an hour and enjoy a cigar with us. We'll be back next week. You can find us on CigarFederation.com. Everybody have a great weekend and stay safe. All right, so we're still live. That's the end of our Armed Forces Radio segment. And I'm glad that we were able to get the audio to work. John will edit some of that stuff out at the beginning. But that was great. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy hanging out with you, Robert. I did miss you guys at IPCPR. But hopefully, at an event sometime soon, we can get to meet in person and spend some time together, maybe share a cigar and have a beer together. It'd be nice.
Oh, absolutely. We'll do it. Yeah, we were pretty devastated, and investing the time and the money and the plans, and most people don't know that we were partnering up with Leaf and Mombacho in that space, and it would have been a great environment to enjoy cigars and conversation there at the show. It was, but again, pride aside, I think we took care of our work that we needed, and it helped us. But we'll make up for it next year. In between now and then, we're gonna see folks at more and more events, and we'll make up for it. We'll make up for lost time, and we'll definitely drink some beers. Homework.
Yeah, you're making up for it already, man. You're on the road 90% of the time. Nobody's going to fault you for that. I was asking around at IPCPR because it felt like it was a little bit of a thinner crowd as far as manufacturers are concerned. And, the big guys are there, and they're always there, and they've got the pomp and circumstance and the huge booths and all of that. But I think the average person, and maybe even the average retailer, doesn't realize the investment that goes into it on your end. I mean, monetarily, of course. But I mean, just to get in the door, you're cutting a pretty hefty check, I imagine. But you got to get the booth set up, and you've got to have people help you set it up. You got to get your product there. You got to get your product home. It's just, there's so much that goes into an event like that. I think that the folks cruising around and looking for deals, and even from a media standpoint, we're walking around, we want to get interviews and talk about the new product and stuff. I think we take for granted that everybody's just going to show up, but it's a difficult task.
Yeah, it's the logistics and planning beyond just the investment. We made the investment but didn't get to go, and that's unfortunate. But what I heard this last year, not being there, is from all the boutiques and smaller manufacturers, smaller factories that we are in contact with, they had incredible years. They were excited. They did well. There was a newfound love, I think, of our side of the business, the boutique side. Obviously, the big guys are going to get their love, and they're going to spend their big deals out there, and they've earned it. God bless them. But the smaller companies that couldn't throw big deals still got the orders, and they still made contact, and they still, built on those relationships. And it was exciting to hear that the year went that well for most of these folks. I mean, there's a lot of back orders out there, brother, and they're not ours because we weren't there. But people took more orders than they had anticipated. So I think it was worth the investment. And it's also more important, I think, that most of these companies, it may be the only time of year where their sales team and their office team and administrative staff, marketing staff all come together. They get to have their annual meal together and celebratory meal, and they get to hang out and smoke cigars outside of selling or maybe. So don't discount the value that if we're retreat, that's not a bad one to go on.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely value there. It's just just from a legwork standpoint, it's tough. I felt like I had more conversations geared in that direction this year. And maybe it was just eye opening for me because I was one of those people who just took it for granted that everybody would just show up. But I heard the same that you did. You probably hear a little bit more of it than I did, but the retailers who were there were spending money, and they were putting new stuff on their shelves, and it almost felt like a renewed interest, like you were saying, in boutique brands. And it's kind of like that thing where when your toy almost gets taken away from you, all of a sudden you want that toy again. And maybe that the idea of some of these smaller companies not being around in a few years is the kind of thing that open up some eyes for retailers to say, hey, there's some really good stuff out here. We need to get this in our shop. So I think it was, it was the first day of IPCPR was rough. The mood, at least for me, the mood in the building was tough. Day two and day three, it definitely had a lot more energy, and I think it was a successful show. But again, hopefully we'll see you there in the future. We've got through all of our audience questions, so I think we'll just wrap it up. But again, Robert, I appreciate you taking the time, man.
Oh, man, my pleasure. I'm glad you thought of me the other day. And I was driving down from Fort Collins, meeting up with the Cigar Society guys up there. And boy, oh, boy, I tell you what, if you ever get over into the Fort Collins or Denver area and find yourself on a Tuesday night, let me tell you something. Go to Edwards or in Fort Collins on Tuesday nights, because those guys are not only Scotch and whiskey connoisseurs, but a couple of them, I believe, are distributors. Wow. So they come with bags full of things you've never had, never heard of, and that you need to. So first of all, you should find your way there and find yourself. We'll get you an invite. But what a great bunch of guys up there at that shop that kind of ended that night well for us.
Up in Fort Collins, what was the name of the shop you said?
It's Edwards Pipe and Cigar. They've been around for a long time. That's Jim, and Brother Paul is a highly energetic young guy that really knows his cigars. Kind of the home for Mr. T.L. Johnson. T.L. Johnson Cigars. There, he lives right down the road. But Tuesday Night Cigar Society. It's an experience. They're good guys.
That sounds awesome. That sounds great. Thanks for the heads up. Robert, appreciate it. We'll let you go so you can get your laundry done and get some sleep before you hit the road again tomorrow. Thanks for taking the time. Guys, thanks for checking out another Cigar Chat. Really do appreciate it. We'll be back next week with, I usually have Logan or John here to tell me who the guest is for next week, but they're not. So we will have a guest next week. I'm just not sure who it is off the top of my head. I apologize. But you can find us at CigarFederation.com. Be sure to download your Cigar Federation app if you don't have that yet. And everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. And we'll see you on CigarFederation.com.